but that he would take away the cup of the wrath of God. No, no, no. Don't be ridiculous. The cup that God will pour out of the wrath of God, Jesus wants to pour it out. Don't be mistaken. He wants to execute vengeance. He didn't pray, oh, Lord, I'm ready to be crucified, but I just don't want to take vengeance on the wicked. No, don't be ridiculous. It's obvious from the context what he's talking about, that the hour might pass from him. This hour we speak of. It would not make any sense to bring in some other hour. It is this, because they want Jesus to be a macho man or something who doesn't want to be crucified, but he doesn't mind being crucified himself, but he doesn't want to hurt anybody. When Jesus returns, he's going to come with garments soaked in blood, but he's not going to have a tear in his eye. He says, sleeping, couldn't you watch 1 hour? This was the moment. You want to go with Christ? Go with him through this moment, through the hour of sorrow and impending doom, knowing the doom that is coming. I tell you, I've sorrowed over many things that never came to pass, over many fears that never were realized. But he knew something was coming. And that's the difference, I think, sometimes. Look at his disciples. They're fearing in the ship. Master, don't you care that we perish? They were sore afraid. Here he's afraid. He's sad. They're going to be spitting on him. Not to mention just the crucifixion and the death. It's not just the death. If it was just a question of a heart attack and then to be raised in 3 days, do you think he would be very sorrowful? No. Because he knew the resurrection and death has no pain. But what about the getting there? It's what he would have to go through on the way that caused so much agony. And knowing it, all the details of it, knowing ahead of time, as Christ knew, the spirit is ready, but the flesh is weak. They were ready to die with him in the spirit, but their carnal nature would turn them from it. They would not be able to perform according to their desires. He was ready in body and spirit to do what the Father asked. And this is the proof of it. Because in spite of all the feelings, it's not to say he was some sort of robot or some sort of, non-human being. He was a human fully. It wasn't something from the spirit world or something like that. He was a man and felt things like a man. He wasn't putting on a show. He really, really felt anxious. When I feel anxiety, when I feel like God is not, when I feel things, it makes me feel all right. And I don't feel like I've betrayed the Lord. I just feel my feelings and I turn it over to God and say, Lord, according to your will, let it be. And look for him to send me his peace. And in the end, I see his peace. Because he lifts me out of the places where I'm down. So he prays 3 times. And then says, sleep on. The hour's come. He's betrayed the hands of sinners. Let's go. He that betrayeth me is at hand. And then they come, and Judas betrays him with a kiss. And he kisses him. And they take him away. They wanted to take him by craft. And of course, the verses 51 and 52, usually people say this is Mark. A certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, because it was late, and Jesus was following, Mark, maybe he's saying, I was following kind of close. Because in youth is a little more boldness. In age, there's wisdom. When I worked on a roof with my nephews, I noticed they got up on that roof and they're walking up and down the rafters. And I get up there and I'm like, whoa, whoa, until I got acclimated and I felt a little more comfortable. But in the whole time I could see, I was much more careful. And I remember being a young guy going up in a tree, climbing a tree with a chainsaw. And, I'm just climbing up the tree. I got the chainsaw and I got my legs wrapped around the tree. No safety, I'm just cutting limbs off. I mean, kids just don't think necessarily the way we do. In that carnal sense of carnal wisdom, don't put your hand under something that could squash it. Some things you learn, don't touch a hot stove. Youth has folly. Don't follow an armed band of men. It's too close. They grabbed at him, and he ran away naked. So he told his own little story of that night, perhaps. Verse 55. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain, and bare false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. So they're trying to find people to witness against Jesus so that he could be put to death. And they couldn't find anything that would be worthy that they could put him to death. And they come up with this misinterpretation of what he had said. And they think, oh, that's a false witness. That's a good one. I will destroy the temple and raise it again in 3 days. When he had said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. And whatever. But the differing accounts wouldn't match up. And it was sort of questionable what he had said. And so the witnesses weren't in agreement. You know, people had heard him say this thing. And plus, they, you know, there were others probably there to say, yeah, well, he said, destroy this, you destroy the temple, and I'll build it in 3 days. And others was like, no, he said he would do it. And he would say, no, this is what he said. And so there was a lot of disagreement. They couldn't get anyone to agree. Verse 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say to him, Prophesy! And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. So they finally ask him the question that's on all their minds, Are you the Messiah? And he says, Yeah, I'm the Messiah. And henceforward, you're going to see me being the Messiah. Sitting on the right hand of God, coming in the clouds of heaven. It's funny, it's because he's speaking the truth. And to them, there could be no greater blasphemy. You are actually saying that you're the Messiah. Yeah. And that's what he was guilty of. He was condemned to death for being the Messiah. They didn't want the Messiah to come. Not like that. I mean, if he was going to convince them that he was the Messiah, he should have shown them some good signs. Maybe burned down a Roman legion or two. Or maybe done some miracle work for the scribes and Pharisees in a personal, maybe private showing. To them, this question is one that he can't possibly answer properly. Because again, it's another one of their dilemmas. And this time he doesn't avoid it.